Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
I'm going to talk about kicking off a new series that I'm calling Blowing the Dust Off the Ghost. Blowing the dust off the ghost. You say, what in the world is that? Well, how many have heard the King James, what the King James Version calls the Holy Spirit, called the Holy Ghost? How many heard of the Holy Ghost? Yeah, the Holy Ghost. That's the King James Version of the Holy Spirit. And so oftentimes when you think of ghosts, you think, ooh, you know? And, wow. Is that a sound effect or is that just rain outside? That was like right on cue. Man, oh man. I just think the Lord's with us tonight, I'll tell you. But I think what happens is oftentimes that third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, oftentimes is a little bit spooky. We don't quite know exactly what is the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes the Holy Spirit can be the part of the Trinity that we neglect in some ways. We're okay, God is Father, okay, that's kind of cool, I can make that connection, God is Father. Jesus, hey man, he's the one that came, we see the way he lived, he came in flesh and dwelt among us, we see how that works, we see what happened, we can see Jesus, we know he gave his life, we can relate to Jesus, that's real good. But the Holy Spirit, I mean, we talk about, we're a Pentecostal church, and you think about Pentecostal, I mean, are those people that swing from the chandeliers and that, you know, that roll around on the floor and foam at the mouth and shake, and I mean, what kind of seizure stuff, what kind of weird stuff, that's those people that, like, you know, they speak in those other languages and tongues and you know, cry. What is that? What is that? And so because we don't know and we're unsure and we don't understand the Holy Spirit, oftentimes we kind of keep the Holy Spirit at arm's length, or we kind of neglect that part and we kind of dismiss and we don't really get into it, and it kind of sits off to the side. So we're going to begin a series because after Jesus rose from the grave, we celebrate on Easter, after Jesus rose from the grave, he spent 40 days with his disciples and he was preparing them to leave, and then he tells them to go and wait for the promised Holy Spirit. But before then, even before he died on the cross in the book of John, he gives some very important instructions and he says some very important things. And then after his resurrection, as we talked about on Sunday in John chapter 20 and 21, when Jesus came, it says he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." So who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? We've got to blow the dust off the ghost. Now, how many have ever had, maybe you've said it to your kids, maybe your parents said it to you, you got in trouble, all right, this is a getting in trouble thing, but you got in trouble and you were going to get punished, and how many have ever had your parents say, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you, right? I did hear that growing up, you know, right before the whack, I did hear, and I got to be honest with you, when my mother said that, I kind of like said, yeah, right, uh-huh. Yeah, right. This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. Well, the disciples didn't do anything wrong. They weren't being punished. But Jesus kind of gives a little bit of that, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you, kind of a speech to them. And in John chapter 16 and verse 7, this is what he says to his followers. He says, "It is for your good that I am going away. It's for your good that I'm going away." Now, that kind of sounds like one of those things, because if I'm the disciples, I'm thinking, now, Jesus, that don't sound so good. Where are you going? Why are you leaving? We don't want you to go. What do you mean it's for your good that I'm going away? You know what I'm saying? So how can Jesus think that it's better off if he's gone? How can it be better off? I mean, if I'm the disciples, I'm thinking, you know what? When you're gone, when you're not around, we're a mess. You know what I'm saying? When you're not around, we have relational problems. We have ego problems. We have status problems. Who's going to be the first? Who's going to be sit at your right? Who's going to sit at your left? Jesus, hold on a second. When you're not around, we got some ego problems. We got relational problems. When you're not around, we have resource problems. Come on. Where are we going to get food to feed 5,000? Where are we going to get this? We don't have enough faith to believe. We got food issues, Jesus. When you're not around. When you're not around, we have resistance problems. You know what resistance problems are? That's when you begin to compromise. That's when temptation takes over. You begin to give in. Jesus, there is no way that it's better when you leave. How can it be better when you leave? The disciples, I'm sure, were a little bit fearful and confused at what Jesus was saying. But Jesus said he wasn't leaving them alone. They weren't listening. They maybe didn't hear, but Jesus wasn't about to leave them alone. And I think sometimes when it comes to the Holy Spirit, you and I don't want to hear what Jesus is saying here. But Jesus says something very important about not leaving us alone. He says, I tell you the truth, John 16:7, this is from the New King James Version now. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, look at what he says, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, earlier in that evening, you have to understand that John 14 and John 15 and John 16 and John 17 are all happening in the course of that evening, right before the night in which Jesus was betrayed. They happen on the evening of the Last Supper. They happen on the evening when Jesus was washing his disciples' feet. And you have to understand that earlier in the evening, he gave a similar pronouncement in John chapter 14, 16, and 17. He said, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper that may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Now, the helper that Jesus was referring to is who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. The disciples were about to enter into a new partnership with the Holy Spirit, and that new partnership was going to radically change their lives. It was going to radically impact their relationships, and it was going to radically empower, the Holy Spirit was going to radically empower them to change their world. Jesus says it's to your advantage. Following his resurrection, as we said, Jesus spent about 40 days with his disciples preparing them for his departure and telling about the mission that would continue. And we often call this the Great Commission. How many know Matthew 28, 19 to 20 says this, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or obey all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. How many know Jesus has given us a mission, hasn't he? He's given us a mission. He's giving us a work to complete. But he told them that he'd always be with them to the end of the age. So he's going to the Father and he says, listen, I'm going to be with you to the end of the age. Well, how, if Jesus is going to the Father, is he going to fulfill that promise of I'm never going to leave you, I'm going to be with you to the end of the age? How's he going to fulfill that promise? Through who? The Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And so we have to understand that we live in that age. We live in that age after Jesus' resurrection, after Jesus' ascension to the Father. We live in that age. So who, which person of the Trinity is critical to our everyday lives and our everyday walk with the Lord, everyday mission with the Lord? Who? The Holy Spirit. So when we neglect the Holy Spirit, that has an impact on our walk with God. That has an impact on our walk with the Lord. That's why I want us to understand the Holy Spirit, because I think there's a fear of the Holy Spirit today. I think there's a misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit today. A misunderstanding of who the Holy Spirit is, a misunderstanding of what the Holy Spirit does. And yet Jesus was clear, as we read earlier in John 16, 7, that it was good because if he didn't go away, the Holy Spirit could not come. And he uses the word advantage. Advantage. And it was his advantage. And so the Holy Spirit is to our advantage. And so Jesus emphasizes the important role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's for this reason that over the next couple weeks, we're going to be exploring the Holy Spirit. We're going to explore his role. We're going to explore his work. We're going to explore his gifts. We're going to explore his gifts. So today I want to begin this series by just discussing who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? And that's what I want to talk about tonight, is the person of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to say. The Holy Spirit is a person. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit is a person. Now, I know we say Holy Spirit. I know we say Holy Ghost. And that kind of gives the idea that maybe it's kind of a spirit. Maybe it's kind of a ghost. Maybe. But the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. That means the Holy Spirit is personal. Personal. this is not like Star Wars. We're not talking about May the Force be with you. All right? We're not talking about that. And if you're Catholic, every time we say May the Force be with you, we want to say and also with you. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. Whenever that happens, that's what I think of. I'm strange like that. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not electricity. The Holy Spirit is not non-personal in nature. The Holy Spirit is very much personal. And this is very critical. This is a critical understanding, a critical perspective of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is often thought of as being power or powerful. And the Holy Spirit is. There is power through the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is a person, one of the persons of the Godhead of the Trinity. And so the verse we're referring to here in John 14, 16, and 17, I want to read it again to you, and I want to begin to draw out some meaning. So if you just bear with me as we teach tonight, I want to draw out some meaning. John 14, 16, and 17 says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." The word literally here means another. When it says another, it means another of the same kind. That's literally what it means. So what Jesus is saying is, listen, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send you another of the same kind like me. Now, we don't have a hard time seeing Jesus as a person, do we? When we think about Jesus, we don't, because Jesus was God in the flesh, He came, and oftentimes we don't have a hard time because Jesus had a body. But how many of you know that a person is more than just a body? How many know the body is just the earthly tabernacle? The body is just the outside flesh. It's just, but who we really are is more than a body, because if something happens to your body, you still exist. You're still there. There's still a part of you that is there. So Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit and says He's the helper, He's the comforter. And He says, I'm going to send another like me, not somebody different from me, but another just like me. Now, when we talk about personal, when we talk about a person, there are four characteristic traits, four elements of personality. How many know that in your personality, your person, what makes you up, how many know you have an intellect? Don't you? You have an intellect. How many have feelings? How many have a will to make decisions? Right? So you have feelings, you have intellect, you have a will. And how many can do actions? There are things you can do. Right? So these describe all of these things. I don't know if you realize this, but in the Scripture, all these things describe the Holy Spirit. The first is intellect. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit has intellect. Romans 8:27 says, He who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit. The mind of the Spirit. So when we're talking about the Spirit of God is described in Scripture as having intellect, having a mind, having knowing the mind of the Spirit. Secondly, there's feelings. How many know the Holy Spirit has feelings? Ephesians 4:30, we're told explicitly to do what? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has feelings. If the Holy Spirit didn't have feelings, the Holy Spirit couldn't be grieved. And when you talk about the fruit of the Spirit, what are the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control has to do with the will. You see, the very characteristics that the Holy Spirit births in our lives are characteristics that are right in describing a person, not simply a power, a force, electricity, or a ghost, but a person. Thirdly, there's will. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says that the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to each as He wills. That means as He decides. And Paul was led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul. How many have heard the term being led by the Spirit? That means the Holy Spirit is directing us. The Holy Spirit is leading us. The Holy Spirit has a will. And then there's actions. There's a long scriptural list of actions that we're going to get into as we get deeper into this series. Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as a helper, as a counselor, as a comforter. And the Greek word for this is actually called parakletos or paraclete. Parakletos. It's an incredibly rich word in the Greek language. Incredibly rich. In fact, there isn't a word in the English language that really can really capture all of the meanings and the nuances of this word, parakletos. It's a study all by itself. But let me share with you just a few ways that this parakletos is used. The word parakletos was used in a legal arena to describe a defense attorney or a character witness in a trial. That's what this word meant. It was used in a legal arena to describe a defense attorney, one who maybe was a character witness. Secondly, the word parakletos was used to describe a specialist in any field who could come in and supply the missing knowledge or insight needed to solve a perplexing problem. How many think that's a good idea? You ever had a perplexing problem you haven't known what how to solve or what to do? The parakletos was a specialist in any field, didn't matter what it was, but that could bring light, that could bring understanding to a particular area. And thirdly, the word parakletos was an encourager who knew the right thing to say and do when a person was suffering or discouraged. That's how this word was used in the Greek and had so many rich meanings. Now, those kind of things is describe the Holy Spirit. So the parakletos wasn't a something. The parakletos was a someone. A someone. It wasn't a something. It was a someone. So when Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, he spoke of the Holy Spirit in the personal pronoun of who the Holy Spirit is. Very personal in nature. And it can be seen in 2 Corinthians 14:14, where Paul writes this: "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Now, what are some words that are in here? These are some really important words. Fellowship. The word fellowship is awesome, also translated communion. And it's used to describe a traveling companion, a close associate in a business venture. In other passages, Paul, as I said, refers to being led or guided by the Holy Spirit. You have to understand the Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force, but the Holy Spirit is a person who is walking with you, who comes alongside you, who is personal to you, a personal traveling companion who is there to encourage you when you are down, when you are discouraged, when you are suffering. The Holy Spirit is there to be one who will bring to mind those things that you need in situations where you don't even understand, you don't even know what is going on, you need some understanding, you need some truth. You know what I'm talking about? Because Paul said that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. That's what he does. That's what the parakletos does. He is a traveling companion. The Holy Spirit is a very personal traveling companion. And not only that, but the Holy Spirit will convict you when you sin. The Holy Spirit will convict you. Remember that defense attorney, that one who comes in, that one, a character? The Holy Spirit's going to come in, and the Holy Spirit, these are all qualities of the person of the Holy Spirit, the very personal work. So where is the Holy Spirit today? We know that Jesus came, he was in the flesh, and then he ascended and is at the right hand of the Father. And we know that the Father is in heaven. Where is the Holy Spirit? Where is the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit in heaven? No, the Holy Spirit lives in believers. The Holy Spirit lives in believers. John 14:17 says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him." Why? "For he dwells with you and will be in you." Jesus says that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Paul also made reference to the fact that the Holy Spirit indwells us when he said this in 1 Corinthians 6:19. "Do you not know that your body is the temple of" who? The Holy Spirit. Who's where? "Who is in you, whom you have from God." When you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you have to understand that the Holy Spirit lives in you. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." The person of the Holy Spirit lives within you, dwells inside of every believer. Dwells inside of every believer. It is important to understand who the Holy Spirit is and to understand where the Holy Spirit is. But not only is it important to understand the person of the Holy Spirit, friends, we've got to understand the priorities of the Holy Spirit. So secondly, tonight, we're going to talk about the priorities of the Holy Spirit. So number one, we talked about the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit has priorities. What are the priorities of the Holy Spirit? I believe Scripture gives us three great priorities for every one of us. Three great priorities. Number one is this: the Holy Spirit wants to help us get right. That's called salvation. The Holy Spirit wants to help you get right. Wants to help you get right with who? Wants to help you get right with God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, every one of them play an important role in the area of salvation. The Father planned for it and initiated salvation. The Son executed and implemented the Father's plan when He came to earth, when He lived a pure and spotless life, when He obeyed and was obedient unto death, even death on a cross, and rose from the grave. He implemented and he executed and implemented the Father's plan. And the Holy Spirit applies that plan of salvation to our lives. The Holy Spirit applies that plan of salvation to our lives. John 16, 13 through 15. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me, because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from Me what He will make known to you. So what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit makes Jesus known to us. You cannot come to salvation in Jesus Christ. You cannot come to a knowledge of your sinfulness and your disobedience to God without the Holy Spirit. You didn't do it on your own. You didn't do it because somebody else did it. It was the Holy Spirit that illuminated the truth of God and His Word and the conviction and your need of God. The Holy Spirit illuminated that to you. The Holy Spirit is the one who draws. The Holy Spirit is the one who initiated that plan. He is the one who speaks and reveals and glorifies and speaks what Jesus Christ wants us to know. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. John 16, 8, when He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. How many know? It's the Holy Spirit's work to convict and convince us of our need. So you have people you're praying for that need to know Christ. How many know? How many have somebody that you know that does not know Jesus that you've been praying for? Does not know Jesus. You need to ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need You to convict them. I need You to convince them. I need You to guide them in the truth. That's what we can pray. Holy Spirit, I need You to do this. I need You to convict them of their sin. You're the only one that can do it. You're the only one that can convict them of their sin. You're the only one that can convince them of their need. You're the only one that can guide them into the truth and reveal to them the knowledge of Jesus Christ and what He did for them on the cross. You're the one that can acknowledge the Father's plan and open up their understanding to the Father's plan. It's the Holy Spirit who does that work. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us of what we do wrong and our need for God. John 3, 5, when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, He tells him this, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. The flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Long before we know the Holy Spirit, long before we even know there is a Holy Spirit, let me tell you something, the Holy Spirit knows you. Long before you ever knew the Holy Spirit knew you. The Holy Spirit knew you. The Holy Spirit was on to you. The Holy Spirit was wooing you. Wooing you to Jesus. Why? Because He's not out to glorify Himself. He's out to glorify Jesus Christ. He's out to let us see the sin in our lives, our need for God, and reveal that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. That no one comes to the Father except through Him. He wants us to get right with God. He's been working in our hearts. Titus 3, 5 through 7 says, He saved us not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy. We've been talking about mercy on Sunday morning. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by who? By the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. You see, the Holy Spirit is an active part of the salvation process, leading and guiding and renewing us through the blood and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is very active today. And if you are out and you are sharing the gospel, you not only need the Holy Spirit empowering you and guiding you into what to say, but you need the Holy Spirit to go before you and begin to prepare the hearts of every person that you come in contact with. Because you can't do the work on your own. The battle is not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. So you need the Holy Spirit when there's a spiritual battle. The Holy Spirit guides us and renews us. Secondly, the Holy Spirit wants to help us grow right. So the Holy Spirit wants to help us get right. That's salvation. The Holy Spirit wants to help us grow right. You know the biblical term for that? It's called sanctification. How many have heard that big biblical word, sanctification? What is sanctification? Basically, the Holy Spirit wants us to grow and become more like Jesus. to become holy as he is holy. Sanctification is holiness. It's instantaneous. We immediately, our sins are forgiven, we're washed away, and all of that. We're immediately made right with God. There's a holiness that happens there. But how many of you know that just because you give your life to Christ and you get saved doesn't mean that there isn't a whole lot of junk and a whole process you have to go through? Right? It doesn't mean you just suddenly stop and all of a sudden you're just like completely, oh, I'm perfect now. I never sin. I never tempted. I never give in. I'm perfect now, right? No. That's just the beginning. Salvation is just the beginning. All of a sudden the Holy Spirit has illuminated your life and you need Christ and you come and, whoa, what is this? And then all of a sudden there's this whole process that starts to come and you go, oh, that's in me too? I didn't even think that was a bad attitude. I didn't think that was a bad action. What is that? And the Holy Spirit starts convicting. You're like, ew, ow, what is this? What happened? You know, and then all of a sudden it exposes and you got relationships that are like all out of whack and they weren't out of whack before. And you go, what happened? I gave my life to God. This is supposed to make my life easier. No. God concerned about your holiness, not your happiness. You get holy, you'll experience true joy. Happiness is circumstantial, but holiness is eternal. It's eternal. Healthy babies grow. If a baby ain't growing, if a little child ain't growing, there's something wrong. You take it to the doctor. You say, what is going on? Friends, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that's not the end. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. Jim Cimbala, pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York City, said this: Jesus' death on the cross and burial was a work that focused on forgiving and dealing with our past, but the Holy Spirit through the resurrection gives us life to live victorious over sin each and every day. Romans 8:11 says, and if by the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. God doesn't want you to walk around as a dead man anymore, as a dead woman anymore. God wants you to walk around living and breathing and walking in the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. Just as physical growth is a process, the Holy Spirit is power and the enabler of this process. Romans 8:13 says, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. And then there is some on our part. What does it say? Put to death, right? Where am I at? There it is. But if by the Spirit, I see I need to back up because we need the power of the Holy Spirit. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. It's not a matter of trying harder. You need a partner. The Parakletos, the helper. You can't get right on your own. You don't have enough willpower. Ask Peter. Peter thought he had enough willpower. I'll never deny you. I'll never deny you. I'll never deny you. Not by me. I'll die first, right? And Jesus said, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You can't do it on your own because your flesh is weak. You need a partner. You need a helper. And guess what? Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I go away, I will send you the helper. The helper is who? The Holy Spirit. One who comes alongside. One who is the same, yet another. One who comes alongside you. And when you partner up with the Holy Spirit, you can live right. When you partner up with the Holy Spirit, you've got the power to walk and do what you couldn't do before. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the person of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that if we're going to grow, we can't do it on our own. We've got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit helps us get right. Holy Spirit helps us grow right. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit helps us go right. What is go right? Service, mission. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The word there in the Greek, power, is dunamis. We get our English word dynamic. Dynamic or dynamite. It's explosive. That's what it means. How many of you know this world needs believers who will be explosive? Explosive in the power of the Holy Spirit. It literally means ability. Ability. Man, there's a lot to get done. How many of you say, I just don't have the ability to do that? Right? I don't have the ability to do that. Right. On your own, you don't. But guess what? Jesus said, if I go away, I'm going to send a helper, one who comes alongside. And guess what? The Holy Spirit has the ability you don't have. The Holy Spirit is able to empower you with gifts, supernatural gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit to do what you cannot do on your own. That's why Jesus told the disciples, listen. Don't go out right away and do your own thing. Go wait. Wait for what? Wait for the promise of my Holy Spirit. What? Because you're going to be baptized. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, that's different than the person of the Holy Spirit. Yes, with the person of the Holy Spirit at salvation, we're going to talk about in the upcoming weeks, we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Try to help you understand what that is, because you and I need the power of the Holy Spirit working if we're going to carry out the mission of God. The power of the Holy Spirit is not for us to keep it contained in the four walls of the church, have a great worship service, come in here, jump around, fall down, woohoo, have a great experience, yay, hallelujah, I went home. That may happen. We can get all excited. We might need that. We need refreshing times of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying we don't. But let me tell you something. When the disciples experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, you know what happened after that? Witness happened after that. On the day of Pentecost, what happened? The place was shaken. Tongues came down, tongues of fire. It came down, and they were bubbling over, and people said, these people are like drunk. What is wrong with them? So there was an encounter. But guess what the encounter led to? The encounter led to boldness, where Peter preached, and he's been able to tell people, listen, you need Jesus. The Jesus whom you crucified, God raised from the dead. Began to preach. The people were convicted and 3,000 got saved. Man, and then they walk up to the gate, beautiful, and they see a lame man and he's begging. And they said, silver and gold we do not have, but what we have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The guy gets up and runs, man. The power of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't to go, woohoo, look at those healers. Wow, let's start a healing ministry. You know what it was? It was, hey, there's a crowd. Guess what? You all need Jesus. You crucified him. You thought he was dead. He's not dead. He's alive. Here's the gospel. You need salvation. And they preach. Jewish leaders got upset. You can't preach in this name. We can't stop preaching in this name. What did they do? They went back. They had a prayer meeting. The place where they were praying was shaken. And what? When they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what is it? They spoke the word of God with boldness. If the power of the Holy Spirit and the moving of the Holy Spirit isn't motivating us to go out and share the gospel, then what are we doing with it? Amen. It's to go right. Don't miss this. Whatever challenge you're facing tonight, the Holy Spirit is there to provide you with the ability that you need to make it happen relationally. You're having problems in your marriage. You're having problems in your family, your kids, your friends, your spouse. The Holy Spirit is able to enable and help you. Physically, we need healing. We need help. Who do we need? We need the Holy Spirit. Emotionally, when we're afraid, discouraged, and struggling, what do we need? We need the helper, the encourager, the Holy Spirit. Spiritually, when you're stuck in patterns and habits and addictions, what do you need to break it? You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. We're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to be talking about in the next couple of weeks. We're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, let's face it. It's difficult to live for the Lord on a daily basis, isn't it? There are temptations all around. There's increasing dark world. We've got to live out our faith, but it's not an easy task. But the great news is Jesus did not leave us alone. He didn't leave us alone. He said, listen, there's a third part of the Trinity, third person of the Trinity, who's one that comes alongside you, one just like me. But guess what? He's going to live in you. He's going to walk with you. He's going to journey with you. And he's given you everything you need. Everything you need. Jesus didn't leave you alone. You're not in this alone, but we've got to begin to tap in and begin a relationship and understand who the Holy Spirit is and begin to cry out and say, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to me. Holy Spirit, I want to learn how to walk with you. Holy Spirit, I want to learn how to talk with you. Holy Spirit, I want to learn how to be sensitive to your leading and guiding in my life. Holy Spirit, I want you to reveal the gifts that you're giving me in my life. I want to be filled. I want to be baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I want to be able to get right. And I want to be able to grow right. And I want to be able to go right. So how? How do you get this powerful friend? Luke 11:13. We're going to close with this. Worship team can come. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? To ask him. You want to know the Holy Spirit tonight? You want the Holy Spirit tonight? You just need to ask. You just need to ask. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Himself to you. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. You need to begin and say, I want a relationship with you, Holy Spirit. I want to know you. I want to know this person of the Godhead. I want to know who you are tonight. Do you want the Holy Spirit tonight? Do you want to know the Holy Spirit tonight? Come on, let's stand. I want to pray tonight, and we're going to worship, and we have a little bit of time. If you want to just spend some time, just begin to ask for the Holy Spirit. Begin to ask the Holy Spirit tonight. If you need to get right with Jesus tonight, begin to just pray. Ask the Holy Spirit. Just begin to lead. Say, Jesus, I want to get right with you. I feel the conviction of your Holy Spirit. I feel the conviction of your Holy Spirit. Confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin. Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The Bible says if you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, can believe in your heart that He raised Christ from the dead, you shall be saved. There is salvation in no other name. The thief, the criminal on the cross next to Jesus, he just said, remember me. I mean, is that simple? It doesn't have to be this elaborate prayer. But you just sincerely in your heart humble yourself and say, Jesus, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you. Begin to ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we need you tonight. Holy Spirit, we need you tonight. Come, Holy Spirit. You are the one who comes alongside. You are the one who lives inside. Come and reveal Jesus to us. Come and reveal the Word to us. Come and fill us with your power. Come and convict us of our sin. Come and help us grow. Come and give us the power to walk and out, walk in the Spirit, to walk as you're calling us to walk. Holy Spirit, we need you. We don't want to grieve you. We need you, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's Word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.